Dr. Laura Brown.
All right. So this is a very personal talk. And as John said, one with action pictures. I come from the people who invented the day off, otherwise known as Shabbat. You would think I would have gotten this notion of self-care, and I think to a certain extent, for a long time, I did a form of self-care, because in my work with trauma survivors, I got to do something that was self-care at the spiritual level, the work of tikkun olam, the healing of the world. And I kind of neglected other aspects of self-care. Well, the fact is that when you work with trauma survivors, you have your heart open to them, and you have to have your heart open because, as the research on received empathy tells us, therapy only works when the client experiences us as open and connected with them. Well, I was doing open and connected heart for about 3 decades, and my heart got a little crusty. What we call vicarious traumatization in the trauma world. So I took the year 2000 off. I tried to decide what I was going to do with my life. I couldn't do therapy at that point because I was too crusty. My heart was closing down. I didn't know how to have an open heart and be connected to people. So I went and did a work for a reality TV show. I wrote a mystery novel. I did a whole lot of things. And I figured out that the way I could make my living was being a therapist. So in 2001, I came back to work. And I came back to work with a slightly closed heart. I think I did adequate work, but I wasn't really engaged. I was cautious because my heart still felt crusty. And about a year and a half after that, just after I turned 50, which is 4.5 years ago, I had this interesting wake-up call that sent me to the form of self-care I'm going to share with you today. My partner and I and the dog were out for a walk on a nice, dry, flat piece of land, which in Seattle you realize is not a common event. And I took a face plant. I fell. I do not know what I tripped on, but I literally fell flat forward. I was fine physically. I was terrified psychologically. Add to this the fact that since the time I was 15, I've had a phobia of going down things. I had gone up Masada, the plateau in Israel, coming down. It's just kind of a steep, rocky, slippery slope. I froze. I had to be walked down. I've been afraid of going down things ever since. The face plant magnified this, and I noticed in the next few weeks that I was becoming afraid of walking on almost anything, even slightly hilly, and anything that was not dry. I live in Seattle, at the top of the hill. It was the rainy season. Here I am, who I call the woman who doesn't have a body below her larynx. This was me in the early spring of 2002, giving a talk at the Oregon Psychological Association. So I'm a psychologist. I noticed myself becoming more phobic. I knew I needed to engage in exposure therapy really quickly, or I was going to never get out of the house. That would be a bad thing. And I'd read about the Japanese martial art of Aikido when I was in graduate school through the work of George Leonard, who's one of the first Euro-Americans to train in Aikido and come back to the United States to teach it and train it. I'd been attracted to the theory of it, which is that you do not struggle with your opponent, you get out of their way. To say that I had not pursued it because I was the woman with no body below her larynx was an understatement. But I remembered that there was something in Aikido about falling down. Aha! I thought, I'll go to some Aikido classes. I live in Seattle. We have a large Japanese-American population. There's probably an Aikido school or two here. So I, being technological, I went to my computer and I Googled Aikido Seattle. A whole bunch of websites popped up. This is really not surprising, given that we're Seattle. I actually had known, deep in the mist of time, about 30 years ago, a woman had come to Seattle and founded a woman-focused Aikido school, which I thought about going to but didn't. Most of the websites were really scary. Most of the schools in Seattle, as is true for many martial arts schools, are what I politely call testosterone-driven. They are really guy places, and they're about doing very scary things, and they were very scary websites. And then I got to one with this quotation. from the founder of Aikido, who we call O-sensei. It says, rise up early to greet the sun. Breathe in and let yourself soar to the ends of the universe. Breathe out and bring the cosmos back inside. Next, breathe up all the vibrancy of the earth. Finally, blend the breath of earth with that of your own, becoming the breath of life itself. Your body and mind will be gladdened, depression and heartache will dissipate, and you will be filled with gratitude. Okay, I thought, this sounds like, yeah, breathing, gratitude, joy. And then I noticed that Sensei was a woman. Okay, this was less scary, and even more importantly, that there was a beginner class starting the next week. So realizing, given that I am a nice Jewish couch potato from Cleveland Heights, Ohio, who formerly did nothing that involved sweating or physical activity, that if I wanted to move from contemplation to action stage, I'd better get signed up right now. I downloaded the application from the website, sent it in, and without ever seeing a class, showed up on the mat in April of 2003. I cried during every class. I cried after every class. I hated it. But I come from a family of very stubborn people. And my years as a psychotherapist had taught me to have a small amount of self-awareness, and somewhere what I got was that I was not going to just take 2 months of beginner class and learn to fall down. That there was something here for me. Now, I thought that what was there for me was to learn humility and beginner's mind. And this is not hard when there are 16-year-olds in black belts who have been doing Aikido since they were six, just, you know, whizzing around beautifully while Sensei is demonstrating something, and I'm like, excuse me? What just happened there, and what did Sensei do? I had no idea. And still, from time to time, I have no idea. And, in fact, I believe humility and beginner's mind were a part of what I came there to learn, but what I realized last year was that I learned, what I went there to learn was self-care so that I could have an open heart. Because in Aikido, one must have an open heart. We are not an art, a martial art that is about attack. We are a martial art that is about relationship, about connection, about realizing that the person who's attacking you generally wants to be lying on the floor, and so you are going to assist them in the most gentle and nonviolent way possible. This is true.
That's a real reframing.
That's not a reframing. This is something I hear from Sensei all the time. That when someone comes to attack you, the appropriate stance is to say, hello, you're trying to attack me. Oh, here, let me help you fall down. And you do. So now here come the action figures. These are some pictures of me helping people fall down. This is me during my fourth Q test, which means it's my second test from white belt to blue belt. That's me in the white belt. That's my friend Gina being helped to fall down. Then there's me also in my fourth Q test. This is a wrist hold, which is gentle. It is very gentle, and the rule is that when it gets uncomfortable, someone taps really hard, and you stop. This is me with my friend Mary in at the end of Kodagash. And then here I am at my third Q test in December. Now I have a blue belt. I am helping someone flip over and fall. This is a black belt. That's a person falling through the air. They're bigger than me, and they're a black belt. That's the action shot. Here I am with my friend Susan, helping her lie down. This is a technique called Shomenuchi Ikkyo, in which someone comes at you like this, either with their hand or an actual wooden weapon, and you gently make their arm into your belt and help them lie down. Here I am doing the Sankyu pin on her, and this is after you, just before you gently help them lie down, you turn their arm into a sword, and you sort of cast gently forward with it. I could hurt people, but I don't, because I'm an Aikidoist, and Aikidoists do not use violence. This is really important. That's why Steven Seagal is the shame of the Aikido community. This is me This is me doing a thing called jiwaza, and what happens is sensei, who is the woman sitting to the left of the picture, this is the examination board, the black belts of the dojo are sitting there. This is like your oral exams, only they're scarier. And so this is jiwaza, when you're up there and sensei calls up two people and they get to attack you any way they want. And you just get to respond. And this is like really doing therapy with a couple who are kind of challenging. So I'm helping, it's like Gina, again, it's helping Gina fall down while Brian's in the back waiting to do something I don't know what. And finally, here I am after my test while I'm waiting to have my discussion with sensei. And this is Dan McAbee, who is the highest ranked man in our dojo. He's a fifth degree black belt. He was a really scary guy. Notice the smile on my face. I'm having a good time. He's not scary to me anymore. Because I love this thing. I don't cry after class. I laugh in class. I laugh after class. I come home. I'm like, hooray, I had such a good time. But beyond the fact that this has infused me with joy, Aikido has become a way that I do self-care. And I found this out very poignantly about a year ago. Last July was a really bad time to be a Jewish lesbian in Seattle. First, our Supreme Court said I could not get legally married because I threatened marriage. Oh, I have to go fast. The second thing that happened is a crazy man broke into the Jewish Federation of Seattle and shot six women, killing one of them. This happened on a Friday afternoon. I went to the dojo the next morning because 2 hours of Aikido on Saturday morning have become my Shabbat observance. And I said, all I have to do is find my center. And that's what I did. For 2 hours, all I had to do was find my center. And I came out realizing that my heart was open and healed. And it had actually been that way for a long time. The grandmother of us, Mary Haney Sensei, who was the one who founded the school in Seattle 30 years ago, says that to do Aikido, you must be in your center and have a fully open heart. And I realized that to care for myself as a therapist and a human being, and here she is, she's this little short woman in her 60s and the most powerful Aikidoist I have ever seen. She doesn't even have to touch people to help them fall down. To have that open heart and to be in my center with an open heart allows me to do the work I do with very traumatized people and to be whole, to not be crispy, to be full with energy, to be filled with joy. So I'm not prescribing that you do Aikido. It happens to be the way that I have come to find self-care, to be a woman with a body below the larynx, and a joy for getting out on the mat and drip with sweat. But most importantly, it has taught me that to balance between the openness of my heart and the solidity of my center is what allows me to have tikkun olam, the healing of the world, in my life, and thus bring it to the larger world. And so I say to my teachers, domo arigato gozaimashita, which we say at the end of class to each other, thank you very much.